What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike, with me is Kev. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk to Hounds defender Ryan Adelaide. We'll recap the preseason action from this weekend, and we'll preview what's to come. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to
After joining the Hounds midseason last year and battling through some injuries, our next guest is back to help anchor our fresh-faced backline, Mr. Ryan Adelaide. Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
It's going good, man. How's it going with you?
I'm well, thank God. Everything's good.
Seriously. And one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on is you were with the team last year, but, you know, between battling injuries and battling for a spot back there on defense, it didn't really feel like we got to know you. So, you know, I guess who would you say Ryan Adelaide is, you know, the man? Like, if you were introducing yourself to somebody here in Pittsburgh, how would you describe yourself?
You know, just a normal guy. I have a son and I'm married. So to be very honest, that's my life. And I'm very happy about it.
I have three sons, so I know how that could be your life. Yeah, how old is your son?
Right now he's 2 and about 3 months.
Ooh, that's a fun age where they start getting into stuff, don't they?
It is. If it's not, you know, I do a lot of running around on the field, but when I get home, I arguably do perhaps more. but it's a good thing, you know, he's expressing himself a lot more. We're beginning to see his personality a little bit more, and I'm just really happy.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite kids show?
I personally don't have a favorite kids show, but my son loves Thomas.
Oh, yes.
Elmo, but Thomas is like a big one right now. So, yeah, Thomas and his friend. So, you'll hear me humming that every once in a while. you're around me long enough.
Yeah, I know with having kids that after a while I feel like I'm going crazy because I'll sit down and, you know, watch an episode of Thomas and be like, you know what, this isn't half bad. I kind of like this. Like,
yeah. You actually pay attention. And, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about you. So, you grew up in New Jersey, and then you went and played college ball at North Carolina. You actually scored a goal against Duke that got you named as the ACC Player of the Week. What was it like going back to Duke and facing them again earlier this preseason?
So it was, first of all, it was cool. It's always nice to go back to, you know, the Triangle area and be kind of in that environment. It was really intense when I was in college, and it still is. And it was nice playing Duke. It's a little bit different when you're not wearing the Carolina jersey, right?
Yeah.
So, but it was nice. It was nice. Nice competitive game. They gave, you know, good effort as it could be. So it was nice. It was, again, it was a nice football game.
Did you feel yourself sort of reverting back to that college kid and getting sort of those butterflies, or were you more like, you know what, I'm the pro now, and you went in with more confidence?
No, a lot has changed. You know, I played in other countries. I played, you know, again in the USL last season. So it was just saying I'm a pro to, you know, really get the job done.
Yeah, and it sounded like, I can't remember if it was the, no, it wasn't the Duke game. It was the game before that where you got the goal off of, or the where you were called offsides. How did that play out? Because there wasn't anything in the news about that.
So Kevin Kerr hit a beautiful ball that, you know, was kind of flashing across the face of the goal. And Corey tried to make a play for the ball and just, you know, missed. And the goalie wasn't able to make a save. And it hit off the inside of the post and then kind of bounced me and I put it in. So there was a bit of confusion. I mean, obviously, if you ask me, I would definitely say that it was a goal. but, yeah, I mean, you know, I was looking forward to my first goal for the Hounds, and unfortunately we'll just have to wait a little longer.
I was gonna say, as a defender, you got to take them where you can. I'm guessing this was
exactly.
I'm guessing this was a set piece.
Yeah, this is a set piece.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it'll come sooner rather than later here. You mentioned, you know, playing overseas, and after college, you had that opportunity to go and play in Israel, which you later described as a quote-unquote once-in-a-lifetime trip. It changed my life. There's no other way to look at it. And I think that for many listeners, Israel is this place that we hear about in the news, but we really don't have a firm grasp on what it's like to live there. What was it about the country and playing there that really grabbed hold of you?
Well, first of all, let me begin by saying that I met my wife in Israel. It was about 2.5 years after I'd been there. And anybody who's married knows that your life is immediately enhanced when you meet your significant other. So that obviously was a very big part of it. In addition to that, however, I grew up Jewish. And my wife and her family, I'll say, educated me even more about what kind of Judaism is about, and it's something that's very important and central to my life now. But I guess on top of that, the people and the culture and the food and everything. If you haven't been, you need to go, because what you see in the news isn't always, you know, what you get. So.
Yeah, I actually have a few friends that have been over there. What would you say your favorite part, you know, outside of playing over there was?
I would say the people and the feeling that you get. The people are really alive there. People are really, you know, passionate about their country and about where they're from. And, you know, it's very similar to the United States in a lot of ways, where it was established with a lot of people coming from, you know, other places. Right, you have people coming from North Africa, people coming from Europe, and they're all, you know, and having their own traditions and their own cultures, and kind of mixing that and creating a new national, you know, identity in Israel. It's really, really unique.
Yeah, it sounds great. I guess focusing a little bit more on last season. So there were rumors towards the end that you were playing through a knee injury. And then I think Coach mentioned that you got it scoped in the off season. What is it like, you know, sort of playing through that and sort of knowing that you're having issues with it, but you still got to go out there every day and then trying to rehab through that to get ready for this year?
Yeah. So yeah, I had some injury troubles toward the end of last year. And I think that just the fact that I, you know, dealt with that kind of reveals how I feel about the club and about my team. My teammates have a responsibility to them to give everything I have. And that's what I did, and that's what I, you know, that's what I'll continue to do. Just so I guess listeners understand, my injury was very similar to the one that one of the running backs in the NFL had. He played for the Vikings, and he was not able to play for the rest of the season. He was out for the season. So when the surgeon kind of saw my knee, it was a little bit like, he was like, how did you play with this thing? But again, you know, my passion for the game and for the team and for the club is displayed in, you know, in those efforts. So it's been tough, but, you know, in order to do anything that's worth it, you have to fight through something sometimes.
Yeah, and I think who you're talking about is Adrian Peterson. So if you're making a comparison,
Adrian Peterson, there you go, yeah,
and showing that you're able to battle through it, whereas he took the whole season off. I think that's kudos to you, man. I mean, you know, we keep saying that one of the things that makes us optimistic about the upcoming season is a lot of what we've been seeing in the off season, and you've been one pretty much all off season long. You've been putting out clips of you, you know, out there running steps in the snow and like doing all sorts of stuff to rehab your knee. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't noticed, we love hard workers here. So first of all, kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
Because I think that's fantastic. But how difficult has it been both physically and mentally trying to work through, you know, an injury like that, where, like you said, other athletes have been sidelined by it and you've had to battle through it, and now you're trying to mentally get ready for this season. What's that been like?
I'll tell you, one of the strategies that I used was that I learned as much as I could about the recovery process and what was going on with my knee. I spoke with the strength and conditioning coach, Mike Whiteman, and some other people who were in charge of my, let's say, rehab. And I would say became obsessed, but that was my focus. I was focused with the process of getting back. So once you do that and you're focused on one thing, you're not thinking about the other things that either could go wrong or how hard it is. You know, you deal with what you have to do on that day. You do it as best as you can, and then, you know, you follow the plan, you follow the process. So that's what's helped me, you know, get through those months and, you know that I have to work hard.
So staying educated and just keeping your head down and working through it. I like it.
Absolutely.
We had Coach and Trey Mitchell on, and they were both saying that things are coming together nicely on that back line. From your perspective, how are things mm-hmm. looking back there?
So far, so good. You know, it was important for us to play the first couple of games down in North Carolina, and definitely gave us an opportunity to you know, to see where we're at. You can train, you know, very much and very hard, but until you get a little bit of competition or opposition that aren't the same guys you see every day, then you can kind of use that to gauge, you know, how things are going. And I would say we conceded only one goal on a free kick that was, you know, wasn't the best. We obviously have things we have to improve on, but there are a lot of positives to take out of this weekend. And so I would say it's going well, but again, we still have a lot of work to do.
Yeah. I like to hear that. So far, you know, in these preseason games, it seems that you've been paired mostly with Jamal Jack and Trey back there. Being one of the, mm-hmm. you know, lone returnees from the defense last season, do you feel any responsibility to sort of take some of these young guys under your wing and show them Pittsburgh?
I would think anybody who wants to be successful, one of the characteristics of being successful is taking responsibility. So me being someone who wants to be successful and whose teammates demand a lot of him and who demands a lot of his teammates. Yes, I would say not only of the younger guys, but anybody who needs help, right? If I can help defensively, right? Defense is when we don't have the ball. Mm-hmm. If it's giving pointers to a midfield player or to an attacker or a striker who I can, I'm going to give that advice and try to help my teammates out the most, because ultimately our success is how everybody plays together, not just my own or not just the young guys, you know, it's everybody. So it's a full team effort.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, you came in about midway through last season. There was a lot of stuff that was in flux. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach was trying to implement a system without mm-hmm. having a full preseason. In your estimation, you know, going through that, what feels different about the organization this year compared to last year?
Well, just by, you know, just like you said, there's a lot of changes going on. When I first arrived, now the club I think has done a good job of making it so the players are focused on one thing. You know, one thing that we want to do is win. So that's what we're focused on. That's what, you know, that's what we hear every day in training. That's what the players, you know, understand, that the coaches understand that, from what I can see, the organization understands that as well. So they're, you know, they've been doing whatever they have to deal with, allowing the players to play and get better and, you know, again, drive towards winning. But that's what we're here to do.
So I guess with that mentality, you know, having the mentality of winning is one thing, but, you know, looking mm-hmm. at the team, sort of being there in practice every day and you know, in some of these early preseason games, what is it that you think makes you optimistic about this season?
I'd say everybody feels a certain responsibility to the club, and everybody really wants to win. If that makes sense, it's not supposed to be too simplified or oversimplified. Everybody kind of feels that responsibility that you asked about, like, mm-hmm. couple moments ago. I don't think it's just like the older players. I don't think, you know, returning players or new players. Everybody has something to prove. When you have something to prove, good things are going to happen because you're going to work hard. And anybody who works really, really hard is going to be rewarded in one way or another.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I remember last season, in terms of that difference, I think there was an article that came out where Corey Herzog was out before practice, like 30 minutes before practice, just working on a mm-hmm. shot while he was in a rut. And that's the sort of thing that we love to see. And that's why, you know, when I said we saw your videos out there of you training, it was like, yes. And mm-hmm. I think the more and more of that we see, you know, even though we haven't watched a single mm-hmm. game yet, I think that's what's making all mm-hmm. of us as fans so optimistic, is just that work rate and knowing that, you know, like I said, you guys are putting your head down in the snow and just getting at it. And I think that's fantastic.
Yep.
So, So yeah, Ryan, you know, thanks again for joining us, man. This has been great. I know you guys are working hard over there, so I'm going to let you get back to it. Everyone, make sure you go follow Ryan on Twitter at RAD487. Best of luck this season, man. Hope you guys are able to, you know, be a force back there and really lock things down.
You got it. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Ryan. You too.
So, Kev, what did you think? Ryan Adelaide, man, seems like a gentle giant off the field.
Yeah, no, when I was listening to it, I just kept thinking in my head, like, he must be a really good father. I was like, everything he said, I was like, yeah, that's such, like, wise, sage advice. Like, yeah, I just picture him being a really good dad, like, off the field. And, yeah, and, like, and maybe even a fatherly figure, you know, in the locker room, which is always something you need. But, yeah. Now, he was one of my favorite players at the end of last season. I really liked him back there on the defense, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. Especially, I mean, if that's what he was like with such a terrible knee injury, you know, I can't wait to see what he's like without that.
I mean, for those people who know, you know, the NFL, Adrian Peterson was sidelined for an entire season. I know because I had him on my fantasy team that year and was just cursing him left and right. And the fact that he didn't play at all, and Adelaide's in there battling it out, you know, day in and day out, and then to basically go through getting his knee scoped and have to go through all the rehab in the offseason, you know, kudos to – regardless of what ends up happening on the field, you have to tip your hat to the guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think of him – you know, I thought it was ironic that he made a reference to Thomas the Tank Engine, because I almost picture him not as Thomas but more like, you know, the little engine that could. Like, just like, no. Like, I see this wall. I'm going through it. I'm getting over this hill, and then there's going to be another hill. I'm going to keep going. So – really good stuff.
It's a good show.
Yeah, good show. Good show. I thought the other thing that was really interesting, and Kevin Kerr actually reiterated it after the game this past weekend, is just this focus on winning. Winning, 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 no matter what. Like, the preseason is thrown into them. Yes, it's the preseason, but we're going to win. Which seems to be, I don't want to say unexpected, but I think after last season, there might be a fear of not having that mentality. But I think a lot of times people go into the preseason, it's more like, well, we're going to take this time to learn. And it's almost like Coach Brantz is like, yeah, we're going to learn, but we're going to win too. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, and as far as that winning mentality, you know, Coach Brantz mentioned that in his interview as well. When we did, it was one of the, I don't know, I feel like it was one of the few things he kind of said twice. I could be wrong with that. But yeah, no, I think it's good. We talked last season and preseason about, you know, as fans, whether we take this seriously or not. You know, if your team goes on and wins every preseason game, does that mean we're like gonna win the league? Or if they lose every game, does that mean we're gonna? And it's at the end of the day, it's, yeah, I think it's, I still don't know what to take preseason as, but I mean, the fact that the coach and everyone's buying into this very seriously, not just we're out here to kind of learn together, but to develop that winning mentality, which, yeah, it's really important for bouncing back in a lot of those games that we fell behind in last season.
Yeah, I agree. So let's talk a little bit about the preseason so far. The big news is that Marshall Hollingsworth and Ben Swanson are back with the team. So Columbus has sent them back down, I'm guessing for the year, which is good. I think that when we were originally talking last year about, you know, players at the end of the season, players we'd like to see come back. You know, I know Zach Steffen was high on our list, but it looks like he has a legitimate shot at being a number one keeper for Columbus. But high on everyone else's list was Marshall Hollingsworth. And, you know, the guy's got speed. He ended up scoring in this preseason game. So I think that's, I was feeling optimistic about things. Probably falsely optimistic because I haven't actually seen anything with my own eyes yet, but knowing that Hollingsworth is going to be back makes me even that much more positive. I know we didn't see a lot of Ben Swanson because he was battling through an injury and he ended up going on IR with surgery last year, but he's still a massive prospect in the U.S. soccer pipeline, so I think both of them could be assets. My biggest concern is just where is Swanson going to fit in that midfield?
Yeah.
Because we have so many midfield players at this point, central midfield players at this point.
And Coach Brant mentioned how, you know, I think one of us asked him the question about the relationship with Columbus, yeah, and how he like kind of plans to treat the players that come down here, and he seemed pretty clear on like we're not out to just kind of please them 100% of the time. They're here like any other player, and they have to earn their place in the team. They're not going to just be an automatic start, you know, in the starting 11, which was really good to hear. But yeah, you do wonder how someone like Swanson gets into the side. I don't know. I remember last season I was oddly in favor of him with no reason whatsoever. Like, I've never seen him play. He got on the pitch sometimes, and we saw some clips of him, and I saw some glimpses that he was really good technically, but he never really kind of put in any significant.
I think it was the Toronto game at Toronto that sort of stands out in my mind for some reason when we were like, yes, yeah, that's yeah, him, yes. Yeah. And then, yeah, there were just flashes of it, but...
Yeah, never anything really sustained. Whereas, on the other hand, I mean, Hollingsworth was sustained all the way through the season. He was super solid, even in games where everyone else was playing poor and we were on the wrong side of things. I mean, yeah, he was kind of constantly there, putting in a 7 out of 10 performance every week. And I'm expecting the same thing.
Cut to Hollingsworth going, hey, 7 out of 10.
That's good.
He's giving me a C. No, yeah, I agree. Hollingsworth is always, he was one, you know, like Herzog that we always said last year, he just didn't stop. No matter what was going on in the game, he was always putting his head down, working hard. I think what's interesting is in this game, which we'll get to in a second, he was playing more as a midfield, like a wide midfield player, as opposed to a wing back, which he was doing last season, which could be interesting in terms of how he fits in here. But let's talk about this game a little bit. So the Hounds played Akron at home, Highmark Stadium. It was open. Unfortunately, Josh isn't here. He ended up getting stuck late at work. But Josh was at the game. He said the eye test, apparently Hollingsworth looked really good. He said it seemed a little bit like Swanson and Hollingsworth were working together really well. He mentioned at one point, like, he almost felt like they were working together too well. Like it was like this Columbus connection, and like to see them integrate more with the team. But I think with them just coming down this week, you're bound to see that. If they've been working together in the offseason thus far, you're going to see a little more of a connection before they integrate with the rest of the team. But in terms of the goals, Hollingsworth actually got the first goal off an assist from Corey Herzog, and then Herzog got two of himself. All of our goals so far this preseason have come from returning players. So Kerr, Okai, Green, Hollingsworth, and Herzog. I guess, Kev, does anything jump out at you in terms of the formations? It was the same sort of deal where it was two different teams starting the first half and the second half. Yeah, I guess anything.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's pretty consistent 4-4-2, yeah, which I'm happy about in that sense, because I think a lot of the time last season now, this was probably because of circumstance, but I felt like we kind of rarely saw the same formation/system going into each game week in, week out. You kind of had players being shuffled around everywhere. I mean, Mike Green was kind of playing all over the place, and you know, you would have players kind of coming in and out of the side frequently, which I don't necessarily have a problem with, but it also seemed like it was a switch of formations as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like seeing consistency in that idea, this kind of philosophy, which is good. And then, I mean, yeah, the other thing is, if you're going to have one player on the pitch who's just kind of head and shoulders above everyone else, I mean, you love it to be your striker. And it seems like Herzog is... He really came on strong at the end of last season, and now, you know, we should be putting these college teams to the sword, and, yeah, and that's what we're doing here. And it seems like, you know, Herzog is like, okay, this is, let's get this kind of over with. Not that it's like they don't want to be there, but he's just, you know, all right, I'm just going to impose my dominance here and win the game, and all right, you know, let's go back into training and get ready for next week.
Yeah, that was one thing that I also thought was interesting. Our buddy John Krasinski posted a picture after the game was over. There were guys doing like sprints and stuff, like conditioning stuff after the game was over. Like, just keep working. Like, just you don't stop. Like, 90 minutes plus, you just keep going. And yeah, I tweeted out, absolutely love that. I'll be interested to see, you know, it has been a consistent 4-4-2. But again, Coach sort of mentioned this idea of doing like a 4-2-2-2. So I'm wondering if the two midfielders are more deep lying, and then you have two guys out wide. I'm actually going to be at the game this weekend, and so I'll get eyes on it and get back a report. Josh will be there as well. But yeah, I mean, so far, granted, it's college teams that we're beating, but we haven't lost yet this preseason. We're 2-0-1, which is, in terms of mentality going into the start of the season, I mean, we get the defending champs the first week, so you don't want to go into them on a low.
Yeah, what did they say? Winning's a habit. So.
Yes, exactly. So hopefully we develop that habit here early on and we keep going. The Hounds were supposed to play Duquesne this past Sunday at 8 a.m., but the game was moved to Sunday, March 19th, 3 p.m. So Duquesne will now be the last team we play prior to kicking off the season. It was supposed to be the Rhinos, and then there was going to be a break, a week off, essentially, between the Rhinos and the start of the USL season. Now it's going to be Rhinos, and then the following week we'll play Duquesne, and then we'll face New York Red Bulls the following week. So no break there. But yeah,
I mean, what do you think about that? I kind of like that.
The not taking a break?
Well, yeah, like kind of, you know, getting used to this kind of every week we have a game kind of thing.
No, I'm happy with that. I like that. And I think, again, you know, we talked about sort of solidifying a lineup and getting a group of guys that are used to playing together. And I think the sooner you can get into that rhythm of just, you know, okay, now we're not playing. Yeah, we're not playing two games in a weekend and doing two different halves. It's like, okay, we're going to have this game this weekend. You know, we got this team next weekend. And you get into that rhythm. I think it's only going to do good things for this team. But yeah, you know, I kept saying last week, and I don't know why I was doing it. I was only giving us 2 points for a win. Yeah, no kidding. It's 3 points for a win. So we now have 7 points over three games, which isn't bad. But again, it's college teams plus, you know, the one NASL team that we drew to. So not too much we can say about that there. I guess in terms of, you know, what's coming up here next week, There was some big news that dropped. The Steel Army's, well, first of all, we knew the Steel Army's annual general meeting is next Sunday at noon at Highmark Stadium. Am I saying that right? What day is March 5th? Why do I feel like I'm getting that wrong?
Yeah, that seems a bit off.
It's Sunday.
Okay.
I think it's Sunday. Yeah, I wrote Saturday in the notes. I'm sorry. I can't read a calendar. We all know this. But anyway, noon on Sunday, Highmark Stadium. Hounds are going to kick off against the University of Charleston at 1 p.m. So the Steel Army's general meeting is at noon. It's for members and non-members alike. So come on down. Tickets are free. So you can go to the game, you can go hang out at the meeting. I'm going to be there. I'm going to try to talk to a few people, including, Maria, the Steel Army president, get her thoughts on the upcoming year. So we'll have that for you next week. The Hounds are actually going to be playing Pitt on Saturday. That's right, at 1 p.m. at Ambrose Field, which is in Oakland. So if you can't make it Sunday, go support the team on Saturday. Ambrose is a fantastic facility with great views of the city. It's right up on top of the hill in Oakland. So if you haven't been there, go check it out. That'll be a fun game as well.
So the Pitt game's going to be March 4th?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I would expect maybe that'll be the first time we see an 11 play for close to a full 90. I mean, because, well, I don't know. Maybe not. Because I'm thinking if you have two games back-to-back on Saturday, Sunday. But, I mean, splitting 45 also makes sense for that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see. Some of the other big news that came out was, and I'm going to be talking to, I think it was Dan that set this up, with the Steel Army. So Dan, kudos to you, man. The Old Guard Shield, Kev, did you hear about the Old Guard Shield?
Vaguely.
So it was announced, this past week that supporters from five different teams. So the Hounds, Charleston Battery, Richmond Kickers, Rochester Rhinos, and Harrisburg City Islanders all got together and created a new in-season shield that you can battle for. So for those who know, you know, from last season, the Hounds, in addition to competing in the USL, they also had the Keystone Cup mini tournament that they had with Harrisburg City Islanders, where we play them three times. Whoever wins the most gets the cup, gets bragging rights for being the best team in the state. This is now another competition like that. So it adds another layer of interest to some of these games. So as these teams play each other, there is a website you can go check. It's oldguardshield.com. They've got the whole schedule there. They've got standings there. And based on how those five teams perform against each other, that will determine who will then go off to win the Old Guard Shield for this year. And so the general idea is really cool in that in the USO, it's expanding so quickly that there's a lot of teams that have been here for, you know, really 3 years or less. And when you look around, there was really only five teams that have been here. I think it's 10 years or more. I think that was the time. Dan, I apologize if I'm screwing that up. But if you look back, you know, it's for the longest time, it's been Hounds, the Battery, the Kickers, the Rhinos, and the City Islanders. And basically just holding it down and, you know, owning, I shouldn't say owning, but like, this is the second division or third division, what it was. And so the idea was, let's get all the supporters together and create a new shield and battle it out. Just, you know, I think Josh was referring to it as the OG shield. So we'll see if, in addition to, you know, some of the other competitions that are going on, obviously there's the U.S. Open Cup, there's the USL itself, there's, you know, the Keystone Cup. We'll see, you know, if the Hounds can potentially bring home the OG Shield this year. But kudos to Dan and everybody over at the Steel Army for working with the other supporters and getting that together. If you want more information, go check it out. Like I said, it's oldguardshield.com. A really, really cool thing. So again, kudos to you guys. Otherwise, I think that's it, Kev. Thanks again to Ryan for joining us. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram. It's the same thing, at RAD487. He's got some really cool stuff over on his Instagram as well, so definitely go check him out. Ryan, thanks again for talking to us. We'll definitely have to have you back on the show. You can follow us on Twitter, at Mongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. And if you're looking for more great soccer podcasts, head over to the Beautiful Game Network at bgn.fm. We are thrilled to welcome two new shows to the network this week. The STL Soccer Report, where our buddy Phil Grooms is putting in the hard work to talk about all things St. Louis FC, which the Hounds are going to see this year. So, you know, definitely go over and give him a listen. I'm sure we'll have him on the show to talk about St. Louis as well. And the Unused Substitute podcast, where Matt and the guys talk about all things Tampa Bay Rowdies. Both are great shows. And like I said, you can go check them out over at bgn.fm. Don't forget to head over to Highmark Stadium on Sunday. Both Josh and I will be there for the Steel Army Annual General Meeting and the game against the University of Charleston. Be sure to stop by and say hello. You know, we love meeting people and talking shop and just saying hi. Otherwise, thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a supporter. Thanks.